Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast. How's everybody doing out there? I am doing fine. So I wanted to separate it. Obviously, we got some big time news in NBA that I want to cover. So this is going to be a disclaimer. This is going to be an NBA Damian Lillard breakdown of the trade and so forth. So if you want the NFL episode, it'll be downloaded. You'll be able to listen to it. But this is an NBA Damian Lillard trade breakdown kind of review. It's not supposed to be too long. So welcome in. How you guys doing? I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah Kitt of the Isaiah Kitt Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that may be listening. For all my NBA fans, my strictly NBA fans. if you're just strictly here for the NBA content, shout out to you. Shouts out to you if you're just strictly here for the NBA content. But we do have NFL content, football content, college football, etc. All throughout the week on a weekly basis, we have that. So check that out if you are interested. But big time blockbuster trade within the NBA. And we kind of already know how this goes with the blockbuster trades. Everybody wants to know who won, who got the steal of the trade, or who got the worst end of the trade and so forth. And, you know, I want to break this whole like Damian Lillard trade review down. Let's break it down like this. First, Dame gets traded to the Bucks, right? And we're going to talk about that perspective, you know, what the Bucks had to give up and so forth. Obviously, the Blazers, they got Jrue Holiday and DeAndre Ayton along with draft compensation. Now, I would add that the Blazers do not intend on keeping Jrue Holiday. So Jrue Holiday will be flipped again and he'll end up on another team, perhaps relatively soon, I would guess. Suns get role players like Nasir Little, Grayson Allen, and so forth. Also, Yusuf Nurkic, along with some depth. And, you know, so that's pretty okay for Phoenix. And then that's what we have. It was a three-team trade. That's what everybody got. So I want to start with Portland not trading to Miami and why the trade with Miami perhaps did not go down. Or we can all assume why it did not go down. The upside for the Bucks, what this means for Damian Lillard and the Bucks, and possibly where does Jrue Holiday land? So that is what everybody got in the deal. Milwaukee got Dame. Blazers get Jrue Holiday, DA, with draft compensation. Suns get a little bit more depth, right? And let's just start with the purpose of the two purposes. And the two purposes of the trade was Portland, obviously, it was time for Dame to get out of Portland, right? And Dame, his preferred destination was the Miami Heat. That's been well documented since, I guess, dating back all the way to the NBA Finals or after the NBA Finals, where, you know, the Dame to Miami rumor started to go out, right? And Portland, obviously, they want to do Dame right. But the two dilemmas were working against each other because Portland wanted a trade that would essentially be beneficial for them and to get as much value as they could from Dame, with him being like one of the better players in this league. They want to get as much value as they can. But then also, it's the feeling of you want to do Dame a favor, a solid, trade him to his preferred destination. And like I said, basically those purposes kind of competed against each other because there was no real scenario that successfully addressed both purposes. Like, you got to think, from a Miami perspective, they thought their leverage was Dame wanting to be in Miami, and that was going to be that. And nothing like this actual deal that the Bucks, you know, made, they didn't think something like this would materialize. But eventually the Blazers did find a deal that served both purposes, which was Blazers, they get back quality pieces in terms of what they need. So they get DeAndre Ayton. They get the, you know, they're able to flip. They're going to be able to flip Jrue Holiday, and Dame gets to go to a contender. He gets to go to a contender. And I would honestly say, it just judging and evaluating which situation is better, because that's also another talking point. Which situation is better, or what was the best case scenario? And honestly, when you throw Milwaukee into the mix, and I'm going to break it down and explain why, in my opinion, but I think Milwaukee was the better option in terms of basketball and championships. If we're talking about Damian Lillard, giving Damian Lillard the best opportunity to win a championship, I think him getting traded to Milwaukee in this fashion and what they gave up, I think it makes sense. I really do. I think it makes sense, and I think it's the best basketball move that could have happened to Damian Lillard. Now, I will say this. I will talk about this a little bit, too, with Pat Riley in Miami. But for all of the success that the Heat have had, this is now, I would say, over the span of about 2.5 off seasons, so about a year and a half or so, or consecutive off seasons, I should say, where there have been all-star, superstar-caliber players that have said, hey, I want to trade, and the Heat have been on all of their lists and all of their preferred destinations. And it includes, obviously, Donovan Mitchell from where he wanted out of Utah. It includes Kevin Durant before he got traded to Phoenix. It includes Bradley Beal before he got traded to Phoenix. And then Damian Lillard. And for Miami to somehow not land any of them, I think is a failure on just a whole other different proportion. And, I think it's time. I've been kind of nicking around the bush with, you know, being critical of Pat Riley and company, because, like, you can be critical. It's hard to be critical when it comes to Miami because of, like I said, the Heat culture, the sustained success, even when LeBron kind of left, like, they still were afloat, and they just didn't, like, drown to the ground, like, you know, i.e. Cleveland, you know, right? You know, they didn't just drown to the ground, right, when LeBron left. They have continued to, you know, be able to get guys in there, and their system and their culture is their culture. But time and time again, I think even with the impressive finals run that they made, the anytime we talk about what can help this Miami Heat team or what is this Heat team missing, we be like, oh, they're just missing talent. They just don't have enough dudes. And you talk about them not having enough talent, them not just having a guy that can just put the ball in the bucket and create his own shot or whatever and so forth, right? So I don't know. I don't know if Miami looks for an alternative route, right? Couldn't get Dame. So they try to go after, I don't know, someone like the likes of Zach LaVine, maybe. Or maybe they call up Portland like, hey, we'll take Jrue Holiday now. Like, maybe they work out something like that. But it's going to be really hard for me to see Miami not making a move after this collapse of not being able to get Damian Lillard. Really hard for me to see that. But as I was saying to, like, the initial question or the initial topic at hand, which is a better environment in terms of winning a championship, or what gives Damian Lillard the best shot at winning a championship, it's Giannis and the Bucks. And let's just talk about it. I like trends. I like trends. I like data, right? I feel like you can never really go wrong if you have a specific amount of data, or just number amount of data that's just pointing in a certain direction. And what we know about winning NBA championships, or would you? If you don't know, now you're about to figure it out. But throughout the course of NBA history, tied and true, you need a dominant defensive front court, right? Like, that's just, like, I think there's a on a short list of things that in terms of, like, winning a championship that you just need in the NBA. Like, obviously, there's outliers and there's different exceptions to certain rules. But in terms of winning an NBA championship and what you need to win an NBA championship, on that short list, and it should be kind of like bolded, you need a dominant defensive front court. That point blank period. You need a dominant defensive front court. Now, as I said about outliers and exceptions, the one I would say over the past, I don't know, 20, 25 years, if you look at the last 25 NBA champions, the last 30 NBA champions, the one outlier that is there is this year's Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets. And you know why? They're like, because first, they had one of the most inapplicable, unstoppable offensive player in basketball, which is Nikola Jokic. So they had one of the most unstoppable offensive forces that this game has ever seen. And then that kind of led to the other four dudes around Nikola Jokic fitting kind of like they're just all equally yoked. And they kind of just mesh perfectly. So they have just this unstoppable, uncanny offensive output, which makes them really hard to stop. But with the exception of this year's Denver Nuggets, you look at the year the Bucks won it, Giannis, Brook Lopez. You look at the years, even with Golden State, when you think about the Warriors, we tend to think about the unstoppable offense and the shooting. Cool, rightfully so. But they also had guys in the front court, you know, that are really versatile and agile. So, you know, those first couple championships, they had, you know, Andre Iguodala, Draymond, they had Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli, right? They had guys like that. Also, later in their run, they had Kevin Durant, they had Draymond Green, they had Andre Iguodala. This past that, you know, the latest championship that the Warriors won, they had Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. Like, it continues. Even you look at the Celtics team that they played in the NBA Finals, you ask yourself why the Celtics have been good, you know, over the past few years and so forth. It's tied and true. You look at the guys they have, Al Horford, Robert Williams, athletic, defensive, dominant defensive front courts, right? And it's like you can go through the list yourself in terms of like past NBA champions. You will see the trend that a lot of the NBA championships that have been won, they have been won with a dominant defensive front court. Well, and you need it especially in the NBA, in this modern NBA. I would argue that Giannis and Brook Lopez is arguably the best defensive front court in basketball. So I think that's more like having that type of defensive front court in terms of Giannis and Brook Lopez. I think that is more like beneficial because you have a guy in Damian Lillard where we'll get to his offense and what he brings offensively. But defensively, obviously Damian Lillard is not a great defender. Like, that's not why he gets paid, you know, tons of millions of dollars, like hundreds of millions of dollars. That's not him. He's not a great defender. But in terms of this is the quintessential situation for Dame to win a championship defensively. So when you talk about like this is the quintessential setup. Him having a really stout defensive front court. For years, the Blazers weren't like this. Oh, like they just weren't this overwhelmingly great offensive team. They were pretty good offensively, and obviously for years they had Dame and CJ, and you know those guys were like really fun to watch offensively. But the real game changer was, well, first, Portland just never could find that wing that can get them over the top, and then secondly, they weren't great defensively. They just weren't great defensively. So when you think of, like, an elite defensive front court, all you need your guard to do is get over the top of the screen and funnel the guard or the ball handler to the rim where they meet your defensive front court players. You send them to the rim. So this roster, I think with Dame, it will be able to craft an achievable defensive role for Dame. Like that is what it's gonna look like defensively. That is what it's gonna look like. Right? Like in terms of game planning for the Bucks, it's gonna be a little different because now they're still gonna be a pretty good defensive team, I would guess. But when you're thinking about the acquisitions of Damian Leonard, what you're getting, we're gonna, and now this is the part where we get into which adding. You're adding a better front court, a better player in the half court than Jrue Holiday, right? You're adding a better half court player than Giannis, I would say. You're getting a guy who just came off of a season of averaging 32 points per game, 5-7 on good efficiency, on great efficiency. He was the third best guy in the league in terms of isolation scoring. So even in his isolation game, he is really, really efficient. Like his jump shooting, all of his numbers in terms of three-point shooting, the jump shooting, catch and shoot, pull-up drip, like he is really, really effective and efficient. He's a marksman. So the Bucks, which they haven't had – and, you know, obviously, they haven't had this type of ability from their backcourt. But now they're getting one of the best shot creators in half court that this league has to offer. Like, that's essentially what they're getting. You know, defensively, that's not Dame's thing. And like I said, I think with the pieces that Milwaukee already have in place, it'll be easy to carve out a role for Dame. But offensively is where he raises their ceiling and they kind of go to a new height. They kind of go to new levels with Dame. Especially, I expect their half-court offense to look a lot better than what it did, you know, the last time we saw the Bucks when they got eliminated from the playoffs versus Miami, right? But we're talking about one of the premier perimeter guard players that this league has to offer. And the Bucks front office, they heard the chatter from Giannis, with him potentially leaving, and they know they had to swing big. And I'll say they swung big. And with Dame, I think Middleton is the solid forward that can make a shot when needed. And not just making a shot, but Middleton time and time again, especially when he's healthy, He's been able to show that he can put the ball on the floor and create his own shot and make tough shots when you need him to. I can't wait to see the pick and roll and the pick and pop between Dame and Giannis and Dame and Brooke Lopez. I don't know how you're gonna be able to stop and defend the pick and roll between Dame and Giannis, where you got Giannis is better. He's one of the best, if not the best, role man in terms of diving to the basket. And then with Dame's elite marksmanship from three, from the mid-range, he's really an all-around great shooter and scorer. I don't know how you're going to defend that. And then obviously Brook Lopez gives you the threat of him being able to step back and shoot the three off the pick and pop. So, I mean, Dame is also an excellent passer and playmaker. It doesn't get really talked about much because we look at him, when you think about Damian Leonard, you think about his scoring and his outside shooting ability, rightfully so, but he can also play make and pass. And I like Jrue Holiday. I thought Jrue Holiday was a great acquisition for Milwaukee when they made the trade to get him. But with this type of caliber player in Damian Leonard, you will see an advancement in terms of their half court offense and what it looks like. You'll see a difference. You'll definitely see a difference in terms of what type of looks they're gonna get in the half court. Defenses are gonna have to be a little bit more aware, and defenses can't be as relaxed as they were. You know, guarding Jrue Holiday and guarding Damian Leonard, it's gonna consist of two different things. And like I said, no shade to Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday is a really good player in this league, and one of the best two-way wings or guards you'll see in the league. But Damian Lillard offensively is a different prowess. He's a different beast. And it would just only open up the game for Giannis offensively in the half court with his presence out there. So that's what Milwaukee is getting. I can't wait to see Milwaukee Boston. I like the acquisitions that Boston made too. Obviously they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and so forth, but they added Kristaps Porzingis, another a big that can protect the rim and also make an outside shot. But Milwaukee, I think I would probably edge with them. They're going to, NBA season is about a month away or so. So I come up with some power rankings or some team rankings, championship rankings or whatever for the NBA. But the Bucks certainly kind of edged out and carved themselves a spot near the top potentially, because it's going to get really dangerous. It's going to get really dangerous if you out east. It's going to get really dangerous. And then you got to think about it. And I'm a fan when front offices and GMs take in consideration of what you're going to have to beat. I'm a fan of that. Like, I always in NFL, I always talk about how, like, GMs and coaches should be drafting accordingly to like what's in your division. So if you know in your division, you got 2-3 star quarterbacks in your division, and you need to be able to compete, you probably want to either draft well defensively or draft well offensively in terms of like skill positions. Because you're either going to need to score points or you're even going to need to slow them down. that's the thing. So, I love when coaches and GMs trade and draft accordingly. In this trade, in the way how Milwaukee is built, quintessentially, they are built to beat the Nuggets. Because that's what you need to beat the Nuggets. You need a big body or a guy that can not guard Nikola Jokic, right? Obviously guard Nikola. You're not going to stop Nikola Jokic. But you have to be able to neutralize Nikola Jokic and what the Nuggets do offensively, especially him as a passer. Because I think they're at their best. They're at their best when he scores 20 to 26 points a night. And he's feeding and he ends up with 13, 14 assists. That's when he's at his best. That's what the Nuggets are at their best. So you got to be able to neutralize that option. And you got to have not only the bodies to throw at Nikola Jokic, but then the back-end bodies that can ultimately defend the dunker spot and be able to have the agility and the versatility to defend the three-point shot or the three-point kickout potentially. And they have that. They have that in Brook Lopez and being able to throw the body at Nikola Jokic. They have that back wing defender, that lurker in Giannis, where he can essentially defend the dunker spot and contest three-point shots. So that's why I think the Bucks, they are the best situation for Dame. They were the better situation for Dame in terms of trying to win a championship and looking at who you got to beat. And I think the Bucks, it doesn't matter East or West, I think they match up really well versus the Nuggets, the NBA champions. So like I said, the Blazers, they got DeAndre Ayton. I like that pickup. Now, we can all talk about his motor and him being engaged or lack thereof. But when DeAndre Ayton is engaged, he gives you 17 and 9. He's a good pick and roll big. And when he's engaged, he's a pretty decent defensive center. So that's what the Blazers are getting. Also, Jrue Holiday, they're going to flip him. They're going to get some more, you know, compensation for Jrue Holiday as well, because Jrue Holiday has pretty good value. In terms of teams that Jrue Holiday can go to, I like Philadelphia. I like the Clippers. I like the Pelicans. I like the Kings. I like the Timberwolves. I like those teams for Jrue Holiday in terms of fit. I even threw out Miami earlier. Maybe Miami want to give it a look. But then, as I said about Phoenix, big picture, I think Phoenix has a plan to bring in someone else to fill that void in the front court. I'm not like absurdly high on Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic. I think he's decent offensively. He brings a lot offensively. Defensively, he leaves a lot to be desired. So I'm not really huge on the Yusuf Nurkic pickup. But I did see I get the move of Phoenix moving DeAndre Ayton. Now, you ask yourself, what was Phoenix's weakness? And it was kind of like front court depth, or like lack of front court depth. And they just got rid of their best big, right? But with them getting rid of DeAndre Ayton, they kind of created some more financial flexibility. They added some, you know, some mid-level players, mid-level exception players like Grayson Allen and so forth. So they'd be able to use those tools and pieces to, you know, hopefully fill that void in the front court defensively. But Phoenix, big picture-wise, I think they do have a big picture idea or plan. But their whole thing is, we got Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant. Like, that's their thing. They got Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, and they'll figure out the rest. And like I said, I do think big picture-wise, I think their front office is competent enough that, you know, they got to make another move. Or who knows? Maybe they're a little higher on Yusuf Nurkic than I am. I don't know. But I think they do have another move that they're going to make. But, yes, Miami, like I said at the beginning, I think they have to make a move, right? Like, in training camp is around the corner. It just feels like Miami has to make a move. It just feels like they have to make a move, right? I don't know. But it just feels like it, you know. I know Miami Heat fans, RP, you know, if you got a friend out there that's a Miami Heat fan, or if you're a Miami Heat fan, you know, I'm sorry that you couldn't get Dame Leonard. But you now got to ask yourself, what are we doing? Because you missed out on Dame, but there are some other guys out there. You throw a good enough deal out there, you know, maybe teams will, you know, offer them up and give them to you. But that seems to be the thing where Miami's, like, talent, they don't have a lot of it. So teams kind of, like, skeptical on the returns on, you know, what they can get. But this is basically my review of the Damian Leonard trade. I think the Bucks won the trade. Obviously, I hate when people ask that question. The Bucks won the trade. Anytime you get a superstar player in a trade, best in believe, you won the trade, especially in the NBA. That's just how it goes. Especially in the NBA, you won the trade. So, without further ado, hope you guys enjoyed this. Like I said, I will, you can hear, NFL content right under this and so forth. So check that out. But I hope you guys enjoy. Always remember, two choices, one decision. I'm out. Peace. Deuces.